Zos Chanukah, Beis Teves, Thursday the 9th of December, Baba Shimon Gurovitz. Why no mention of Hadlokas and Neivas in Korbonos?
I'd like to discuss with you a question that's bothered me for some time. Yeah, every morning in Shachris, and many people when it comes to Mincha as well, they say, Seda HaKorbonos. We actually go through the parashiyos which constitute the Daily Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. Parashas Trumas HaDeshen, Parashas HaTomid, Parashas HaKtoiris. We go through each parasha in place of the Avodah HaMikdash, which we don't have nowadays. Every day in the Beis HaMikdash, there was Atovas HaNeiris and Adlokas HaNeiris. The preparation of the Menorah, which was done in two parts, and the Hadlok, which was either in the evening, according to most Rishonim, according to the Rambam, it was twice a day, morning and evening. And yet, be it Shachris or Mincha, we don't read the parasha of Atovas HaNeiris and not the parasha of Adlokas HaNeiris. Why is this particular parasha missed out? This has troubled me for some time. And that's just a possible answer, connected to Mitzvah Shem, the Chanukah. A couple of years ago, when we were saying the Avodah in Yom HaKippurim, a very similar question struck me. Towards the end of the Avodah in Musaf, we say a piyut which starts with the words Umeirov Avoinein, and we go through all the various Avodahs in the Beis HaMikdash and the parts of the Beis HaMikdash that we are missing because of our Avodahs, and we enumerate more or less everything. In Lonu Lo Ishim V'Lo Osham it starts. Then we go through, we say, Lechiyoyim, Lechamoy, Lelevoino, Lelechvaponim, Lemizbeach, Lemincho, Lenichoyach, Lensochim, Lesoilis, Lesam, etc., etc. Anything that you can think of is mentioned there, besides for Menorah and Neiris. Menorah and Neiris are not mentioned. It struck me, what's going on over here? It's a very, very important part of the Beis HaMikdash, it's in the Heichal. Why isn't it mentioned at all? So these are the two questions that are posed so far. First, why don't we say the Parshas HaTovah V'Adlokas HaNeiris daily as part of our Korbanos? And also in the Piyut Meirov Aveinenu, we say everything but Menorah and Neiris. In Slichus, the Hab Slichus, Slichus the Chamishi, I also noticed a similar Ha'orah, well it depends how you are Goyris. It's two Gisos actually, in this particular period, which starts off, Tanis Tzibu Kovu Tvoya Tzroch. It says as follows, Nistamo Habiro, Nisroikan Toya Asholchon, Meizin Meiziach, Sutar Me'avoidas Polchon. Here again, we're bemoaning the fact that we don't have the Avoid anymore. Now, Nistamo Habiro, if you go to Biro, Biro is in reference to Yerushalayim, or the Beit HaMikdash, there's different Pshotim. But in Tshuvas Yad Ephraim, the Gears is as follows. Tshuvas Beis Ephraim, sorry. Tshuvas Beis Ephraim, the Gears is as follows. Not Nistamo Habiro, but Nistamo Hakiro. It's two Gisos whether we go as Nistamo Habiro or Nistamo Hakiro. Now, what is meant by the word Kiro? Says the Beis Ephraim, if you have a look in Be'er Daf Kaf Amud Beis, Kiro is one of the words which is used to denote Mizbeah. So Nistamo Hakiro is in reference to the Mizbeach. We bemoan the fact that the Mizbeach is no longer functioning. Okay, so if we work in the Beis Ephraim's Girister, what's written is as follows. Nistamo Hakiro, we bemoan the fact that the Mizbeach is no longer functioning. Nisroika Toya Shulchan is the reference to the fact that the Shulchan is now empty. We don't have the Lechem Aponim and the Lavoya. We're missing that facet of the Avodah HaMikdash. What's the third thing that's mentioned? Mezin or Meziach. What is Mezin or Meziach? And the Mefarshim say this in the Agro and others. You have a look at the article, it translates it the same way. Mezin is referring to that keli in the Beis HaMikdash, which is through it we are zeicha to mezeinus, umeziach, and to kaporan avoinus, which means the mezbeach. Suta me'avoidus polchon, its avoide is now removed, it doesn't exist anymore. We have mezbeach mentioned twice. So obviously one's referring to the Mizbeach Hachitze, and one's referring to the Mizbeach Hapanimi. So we've been mourning the fact that the two Mizbechois are no longer functioning, and that the Shulchan no longer functions. There's something missing. The Menorah. So we see again and again that there's no reference to Menorah. There's something missing when it comes to Menorah. I'd like to understand why Menorah is missed out. What occurred to me was the following. one has a look at the parashia, the parashias of Truman Tetzar, which is so central to the binyan of the Mishkan and the Mikdosh, we see something very, very interesting. Parashas Truma is devoted entirely to the creation of the Mishkan. Let me go through bit by bit how the Mishkan is created. Parashas Tzava, Al-Koponim, the first part of it, is devoted to the Asiya of the big day, Kohen Hedia, to the big day, Kohen Gadol. So these are all the preparations for the Mishkan in order that it should function. Now there's something in between the Parashas of Asiyas HaMishkan and the Parashas of Asiyas Big Day Kuna. The Atta Tzava Sbnei Yisrael, the Yikho Yilecho Shemen Zayzoch, Kosis Lamoy. Now what's that doing here? The parashah of Lechem Aponim you'll find in Parashas Emor. The parashah of Tomid you'll find in Parashas Pinchos. Why does the parashah of Hatovas Aneiros and Alok Aneiros find itself between Parashas Truma and Parashas Tetzave? Parashas Truma and Tetzave are dealing with the preparations. The creation of the Mishkan, the creation of the Kleah Mishkan, the creation of the Big Day Kohanah, all that was necessary in order that we should have a functioning Mishkan. The Avodah is the detail later on in the Torah. Ketuvos HaTamim is at the end of Tetzaveh. And yet over here, between Truma and Tetzaveh, we have the Parsha of Hatovah, the Adlok Saneris. Why is it here? So it occurred to me the following.
In
Tetzaveh, the beginning of Tetzaveh, the first three Pesukim. So what it appears is the following. I'd like to actually build up proofs to that effect. It appears from the fact that Hadlok HaSaneris is outlined immediately after Asiyas HaMishkan, before the Asiyah of Big Day Kohanah, that Hadlok HaSaneris is different to the other Avodas in the Beis HaMikdosh. All the other Avodas in the Beis HaMikdosh, they're performed in order to create a Ritzui, in order to create, so to speak, a goodwill, a Shalom Beinenu and the Ribbono Nishalei. The Hadlok HaSaneris, its function was actually in order to be Mashlim the Bayis. A bias is only a bias as long as there's light. As long as there's no light in the bias, the cover of the bias, the tiferes of the bias, the glory of the bias is somewhat missing. Is the purpose of lighting the menorah isn't because the lighting of the menorah creates some sort of hakrova, is some form of sacrifice, is some sort of way by which we create a ritzui between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The purpose of the Hadlokah is in order to be mashlim the bayis. A bayis is only complete with the Hadlokah. And the reason why we have to light on a daily basis, or according to the Rambam, twice a day, is in order that the bayis should be constantly in its perfect form, i.e. with light. And that is why the Mishkan is only finished once there is actually Hatovah v'Hadlokah Saneris. And that's why, after we finish detailing the Asiyas HaMishkan, before we move on to the Asiyas Big Day Kohanah, the Atat Tzavas Bnei Yisrael, the Yikhoi Lecho, Shemen Zayizoch, you have to light the menorah, not because the Hadlokah of the menorah is some sort of akrova, some sort of sacrifice, but because this is the finishing touch to the Binyan HaMishkan. I'd like to prove this in Mitzvah. If we have a look at the Sefer HaBahag, Sefer HaBahag has his own minyan mitzvahs, which is different to the Rambam. The Rambam actually takes issue with the Bahag's way of counting up to Tariag mitzvahs. And the Bahag divides it into sections. He's got the sections of Asay, the sections of Loisa Asay, the sections of Mises Bezdin. And then he's got a section which he titles as follows, Parshis Chukim U'Mishpotim HaMesudim Letzibur. Parshis. So he has, for example, Parshas Shemana Mishchok Teres Asameh. That's one parsha which constitutes one mitzvah. Why they belong together is a different question which we can't discuss now. Parshas Lechem Aponim. Another mitzvah is Parshas Lechem Aponim. Parshas Shtei Alechem. Another mitzvah. Parshas Mesachim. Another mitzvah. That means each and every part of Avodas HaMikdash is detailed as a separate mitzvah. Then he has the generalized mitzvah of the creation of the Mishkan. Now let's see how he puts that down. Parshas Mishkan v'chol kelov, the parsha of the creation of the Mishkan and its kelov. Now it doesn't stop there. He incorporates in this mitzvah a number of factors. Big Day Sarod, that's the Big Day Kohanah, which he puts together with the creation of the Mishkan because they're both part and parcel of setting up a functioning bayis. Kiddush Kohanim, in order that the bayis should function within Kohanim. And Kohanim can only function once they have a Kiddush, that's also part of the setting up of a workable mikdash. Chinuch HaMizbeach, all part of the same mitzvah, because the Mizbeach can only function once it's had a chinuch. So he puts into one mitzvah all the various parts which create a functioning bayis. And one more thing he puts in there. Shemen Amoy. And 1 second. Why is Shemen Amoy part of this mitzvah? Kteres Hasanim, separate mitzvah. Lechem Aponim is a separate mitzvah. Why does Shemen Amoy belong together with the creation of Mishkan, the creation of Big Day Kuna, the Kiddush of the Kohenim, the Chinuch HaMizbeach? Why does it all belong together? Doesn't make sense. It's an avoda like Lechem Aponim. It's an avoda like Nesochim, like Kteres. And the answer is, I think, because it's not an avoda like Kteres Hasanim. It's not an avoda like Lechem Aponim. It's not a hakrova. It's part and parcel of the creation of the bayis. The bayis is only complete once it's been lit up, once it's lit. And therefore, Shem and Amoy belongs together with Asiyas HaMishkon, Asiyas Klei HaMishkon, Asiyas Big Day Kona. It all belongs together because it's all part and parcel of the creation of a functioning bayis. It's not a separate akrova like Keteres and Lechem Apollon. I think this very much proves the point that we'd like to make. I'd look in the Rambam, in Moira Nevuchim. The Rambam, when he spells out the Asiyas HaMishkon, the Asiyas HaMikdosh, and he details each kedi as it's put in, he says afterwards, V'achakach husmo menoyer lefonov, the menoyer was placed there, lekovet ulitif eres v'bayis. The purpose of the menorah was in order to be utilized to glorify the house. That's the function of the menorah. It's not a keli, it's not a vehicle for our krova. It's there to light up the house, to glorify the house. There again, it's Ashloma to the Mishkan, Ashloma to the Mikdosh. I subsequently found that I was mechavan with this vort in menorah to a vort that my grandfather, Rebbe Bulwitz, once said on an entirely different question. We've been discussing why it's in Parshas Tetzaveh. He discusses something else. It's brought down in my uncle's Sefer, Rebbe Avraham's Sefer, Vanafer Arzei El Al HaTorah. My grandfather discusses a Rashi. A Rashi at the beginning of Baal Yisrael. The Rashi says as follows, Lama nismacho Parshas HaMenorah to Parshas HaNasim. We read it this morning. We finished Parshas HaNasim, and we move straight on to Baal Yisrael HaSaneiris, which we actually learned this morning. Says Rashi, Lefish k'sheroa Aaron Chanukas HaNasim, when Aaron saw the Chanukas HaNasim, Chol Shadato. Why? Because he took no part in the Chanukah and disturbed him greatly. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry, you've got Hadlokas HaNeiros. So Ramban asks, and this Rashi actually based on the Chazal, Ramban asks his following, he says, I don't understand. Why was Aaron HaKohen comforted by Hadlokas HaNeiros? Let's think about it, he says. Aaron HaKohen could do the Keteris whenever he wanted. Aaron HaKohen bought the Minchas Chavitin twice a day. Aaron HaKohen did the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim. What greater could you have than that? And yet, Chol Shadatoi, he wasn't satisfied. He felt he was missing something. Why was he compensated with the Hadlokas HaNeiros? What did the Hadlokas HaNeiros give him more than he didn't have till now? He had the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim, Lifnei V'Lifnim. Why was he not compensated? Why was he not comforted? And the Hadlokas HaNeiros suddenly comforted him. So my grandfather wants to say exactly the same thing. What was disturbing Aaron HaKohen? Of course he had the Avodas in the Beis HaMikdosh. But what disturbed him was he had no part in the chinuch of the Mishkan. He had no part in the creation, in the finishing off of the Mishkan, in making the Mishkan a workable mikdosh. This was his problem. He had Avodas Yom HaKippurim, he had the Chavitin, he could do the Keteris whenever he wanted, but he didn't play a part in the chinuch habayis. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't worry, I've reserved something for you. Something which is a hashlama to the Beis HaMikdosh on a daily basis. As long as there's no light there, the Beis HaMikdosh is not complete. You are the one that has been appointed to light the menorah every day. And therefore you would constantly be playing a part in the completion of the Beis HaMikdosh. This is how my grandfather explained the Rashi. So there you see again the same vort, that the purpose of menorah neiros is not a hakrova as such. It's not to create a ritzu beinenu lebein keinenu. The idea of that lock is to be mashed in the bayis. A bayis is only complete. A bayis is only in its full glory if it's lit up, if there's light there. My uncle actually adds a footnote. And he adds something to this vort. He says as follows, if we have a look at the Nusach Al HaNisim, there's something that we have to try and understand. why it finds its place there. Al-Anisim details the Nes Milchoma. Al-Anisim doesn't discuss at all the Nes Shemen, it details the Nes Milchoma. Rav says, Ribom Tam says, you know, Masaf Gibim Yachaloshim, Rav Miyamatim, Tmeim Yatoyrim, Shom Yatzadikim, and we go through the Nes Milchoma. How do we finish off? V'achkim bo v'nech le dvibi secho, v'finis hecho lecho, v'tiras mikta secho, v'dliku neirois, the chatzrois kotshecho. Now we're not discussing over here the Nes Shemen. So why is the avoida of hadloka mentioned over here? If you're mentioning avoida, speak about the fact that they did the kotoris and they brought the tomit. No. We only mention the hadlokas haneiris. Now if you're detailing the Nes Shemen, I can understand why it's important to mention hadlokas haneiris. But since we're speaking about the Muhammad, how does v'dliku neirois v'chatzrois kotshecho find its way into Al-Anis? He brings down the Avudram. The Avudram actually says V'idliku Neis B'chatzis Kutshecha is not referring to the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. V'idliku Neis B'chatzis Kutshecha is referring to the various chatzrois in Yerushalayim. The people living in Yerushalayim have courtyards, and they all set up lights in their courtyard to celebrate the victory. Thus, V'idliku Neis B'chatzis Kutshecha is not referring to that block in the Mishkan. It was a celebration of the victory. But he brings down that most Mepharshim learn Idliku Neis B'chatzis Kutshecha is actually referring to the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And he asks, why is this so? So he says as follows with the same thought. He writes this on my grandfather's what he says, that it finds its way into Al-Anisim. Because Al-Anisim over here finishes off by saying, V'acha kem bo v'lech l'vi b'secho, u'fines hecho lecho, v'tiris mikdoshecho, they were re-mechanech the bayis. They once again set the bayis up as a functioning bayis. Now a bayis is only complete with the hadlocker. Once the hadlocker has been done, then the bayis is complete. The keteris isn't mentioned because keteris wasn't part of the completion of the bayis. It's an avoida. Tomid is not part of the completion of the bayis. It's an avoida. V'dlik neis v'ches k'shecha is the finishing off. It's the final touch. It's the completion of the bayis. And therefore, if we're speaking about the new chinuch habayis that took place, we see that the purpose of Menorah wasn't a hakrova. The purpose of Menorah was in order to finish off the bayis. So now let's get back to the questions that we started, and then we'll add one or two points in reference to Hanukkah, which will be answered with this. We asked why we don't say in Korbonus the Pal Shabbat Tov of Adlokas Haneiros. I think with what we've explained so far, here we can understand this. We say Korbonus every day is a bechinah of a neshama poem, a neshama poem sfaseinu. In other words, the idea is that by saying Korbonus, it's as if the Rebbeinu Shmuel will consider it as if we've been makriv those Korbonus. So the Mishnah Berurah explains it, ki'ilu hikrivum, since we don't have the opportunity to actually bring them, our amira, our repetition of the particular parshas of those daily avoiders will be considered as if we'd actually done those avoiders. What we detail and what we outline is the avoiders that we're missing, the hakrovas that we're missing. We don't have the ritzri of the tomid reich lichaychi shel Hashem. We don't have the ritzri of the ketores. We say the parshas as if we've actually brought those korbanos. Menorah neiros is not a korban. It's not oyla l'rotzim. It's a completion of the bayis. That's not what we're trying to do in korbanos. We're trying to substitute what we're missing. Those korbanos that created, so to speak, a goodwill between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, we want to replicate that by actually saying the Palsha. Menorah constitutes part of the Binyan Habayis. We don't say the Palsha of Asiyas HaMishkan in the morning. That's not what we're trying to achieve. We're missing the Beis HaMikdash. There's nothing we can do about it. But the Hakrova, the Ritzi that we're missing, can be completed by us actually repeating the Palshas. So Menorah and Neiros, Hatova and Adlokas Haneiros doesn't find its way into Korbanos. The Piyut in Musaf Yom Kippurim, Erev Aveinu. There again, we're detailing the things that are missing, that we don't have the positive ritzui that we're missing. We don't have the Oshom, we don't have the Chatos, we don't have the Levoina, we don't have the Lechem Aponim, we don't have the Mincha, etc., etc. Menorah and Neiros, they don't achieve for us a ritzui. They're not part and parcel of the Avoida which we're missing, and therefore we don't detail Menorah and Neiros. And then again, the Slichus Lechamishi, where we're discussing, and with Avenin, we're speaking about the fact that the Avodah has been removed from us. Yes, we've lost the Avodah of the two Mizbechis. We've lost the Avodah of the Shulchan. Menorah and Neiros was never an Avodah. And therefore, it finds no mention there at all. I think we can take this a little bit further and move to one or two Nekudas B'negei to Chanukah. Bnei Yeshua asked the following question. We know that when they came to the Beis HaMikdosh, all the shemen had been defiled, it was all tomei. And there was only one pach left, which they utilized for that lobster neiris, and although it was only enough for one day, it lasted for 8 days. Says the Pnei Yeshua, he says, I don't understand. He says, okay, the menorah was provided for, but the menorah wasn't the only place where shemen was used in the Beis HaMikdosh. For example, the menachos that were brought every day, as part of the tomet, they also needed shemen, oil. So what happened there? There wasn't enough oil, there was enough for the menorah, but what happened to the menachos? And the Pnei Yeshua discusses this at length. I think with what we've discussed, we can answer this. Let me start off by mentioning a psikta. Psikta says as follows. Amar Reb Chanina, Bekafei Bekislev Nigmaro Melech HaMishkan. In the Midbar, on the 25th day of Kislev, they'd finished the creation of the Mishkan. Va'amen Mekupel Ad Echo Benissan. And the Mishkan stood folded up until the first day of Nissan. Why? Says the psikta, because the idea was that the Binyan Mishkan should be in the month when Yitzchak was born. Says the psikta further, Hifsid Kislev, Shenigmro Belocha Boy, Kislev had now lost out. The Melocha was finished. It should have been ideally the time when the Mishkan was set up, and Kislev's lost out. It was left folded up. Omar Kodesh Baruch, said the Ribbono Shel Olam, Olai Leshalem Loi, I will repay Kislev. Ma Shidem Loi Kodesh Baruch Hu, how did the Ribbono Shel Olam repay Kislev? Chanukas Beis Chashmenoi. So the fact that the Yom Tov of Chanukah falls in Kislev is no coincidence. This was the repayment, so to speak, of Kislev. The Chinuch HaBayis that had been lost in the Midbar was replaced in the time of Beis Chashmenoi. So the Ribbono Shel Olam was Masad of Kol HaSivuvim brought about that the Chinuch Bezman Chashmenoi took place on Kafei Kislev. I think we can now understand why the Nes Shemen was only necessary in order that we should be able to be Madlik the Neiris, but not in order to be Makriv Korbanos. Now, Loksa Neiris formulates part of the Chinuch HaBayis. The Bayis is only complete when the menorah is lit, and that's why Aaron HaKoyen was then pacified. The Chinuch HaBayis had to take place in Kislev LaHashim Loi, the Kislev, in order to repay Kislev. As long as there's no menorah, there's no chinuch habayis. And therefore it was imperative that the Ribbono Shel Olam should bring about a nes, that there should be enough oil, in order that the menorah should be lit, and we should have a chinuch habayis in Kislev. If the menachos weren't brought up, they weren't brought up. Klal Yisrael were an oynes. If they didn't have the opportunity to bring the menachos, what can one do about it? Oynes lachmona patrei. But the chinuch habayis had to take place. That's what Chanukah is all about. And therefore, Shemen for Menorah had to be provided. The Ribbono Shel Olam wasn't necessarily worried about the fact that Klal Yisrael couldn't bring up all the various akrovas. Fafal, it was an oynus. What can one do about it? But the Ribbono Shel Olam had to replay Kislev, Chanukah's Beis Chashmenoi, and in order that there should be a Chinuch HaBayis, there had to be Shemen, because a Bayis is only complete with Hadlok Saneris, as we've mentioned from the Bahag, as we've mentioned from various other sources. There's a well-known kasha, the kasha of the Beis Yosef. It's just asked the kasha that why do we have Chanukah for 8 days? Chanukah should only be for 7 days. They had enough oil for one day, so the actual miracle of the oil only took place in the subsequent 7 days. So Chanukah should only be for 7 days, not for 8 days. And there's very, very many terutzim said on this kasha. The Prichodosh in Erechaim Sum Tofresh Ayin says as follows. Says the reason why we have 8 days is because the first day we don't celebrate the Neshem, we celebrate the Nitzochim, the winning of the war. So we light the menorah on the first day to celebrate the victory, and the subsequent 7 days we light the menorah in order to celebrate the Neshem. So Moshe Shtenbuch in his Sefer Moedim and asked the following question. He says, I don't understand. He says, I accept that the first day is a celebration of the victory, and not a celebration of the Neshem. But why light the menorah? Why light the menorah? He says, we say Hallel, very good, we say Hallel, it's a day of victory. We say Alanisim, it's a day of victory. But why light the menorah? He slowly explained, what has the victory got to do with that Loch Saneris? This is why Shtenbuch is very puzzled by this Pnichos. I'd like to explain as follows. I think the way we've the way we've explained things, I think we can explain why the Hadlokas HaNeiros is part and parcel of the victory. Chofetz Chaim, in his Pirush on Siddur, when he discusses Al HaNisim, he makes the following point. We go through the Nes Milchama, and how does Al HaNisim finish off? V'acha kem bo v'nech l'dvi b'isecho, u'fine seicho lecho v'tiris b'kdashecho, b'dlikin nes b'chatsus k'dashecho. This is the conclusion, this is what we build up to. Says the Chofetz Chaim, as Al HaNisim teaching us, why? What the Chashmonaim were aiming to achieve. They weren't just aiming to subdue the Greeks. They weren't just aiming to take back the reins of power. What they were trying to achieve, what their ultimate aim was the recreation of the Mikdash and once again to have the Ashras Hashkinah. That was the ultimate purpose, that's what they were trying to achieve. And that's why Al HaNisim finishes off. It doesn't detail the fact that they once again took the reins of power. It doesn't detail what happened to the Greeks and how they were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. It details the chinuch of the Beis Hamikdash, which was what the Chashmonaim ultimately wanted to achieve. So they ultimately wanted to achieve the rededication of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, what was the final touch of chinuch habayis? Lights in the Menorahs was the final touch of the rededication of the house. In other words, the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash, the Chinuch, was brought to its conclusion by the lighting of the Menorah. And this was actually ultimately what the Nes Milchama was all about. The Milchama was in order that they should be able to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash and once again have Ashras HaShchina. And this culminated, this was brought to its conclusion by the Hadlokas HaNeiros. So the Hadlokas HaNeiros is very much connected with the Nes Milchama. Because the purpose and what we were looking for, what we sought to achieve, was brought to its conclusion when we actually lit those lights in the Beis HaMikdash and brought the Bayis to its Hashlama. And actually completed the mission that the Chashmonaim were out to achieve. This was brought about and brought to its finalization, brought to its conclusion with Hadlokas HaNeiros. So it makes sense that we actually light the menorah in order to celebrate the Milchama, because this was the ultimate conclusion and victory that we're trying to achieve. Which once again see the Chinuch Habayis Minhel B'Yomeinu with Hadlokas HaNeiros daily.